This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Children often ask difficult, thought-provoking questions. Here's one. Given the good life our family is leading, why don't we do more to help others? That was asked by 13-year-old Jackson Lewis of his dad, J.D. Lewis. And I'm not sure what the immediate answer was, but the ultimate result is rather out of the ordinary. A 12-month around-the-world adventure for the whole family, coordinated in part by the Peace Corps, and one that will involve everyone in various forms of philanthropy from far-flung Cambodia, Rwanda, and Peru to Mississippi. We're joined by three members of the Intrepid family to find out more about this extraordinary project. J.D. Lewis is the father that we mentioned. He's an actor and acting coach by trade and founder of the Actors Lab, a single father of two boys, both of whom will be leaving on this trip with their father. You're going to have your hands full. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. We're happy to be here.
Nice to have you with us. You've also brought your sons. Jackson Lewis is the son whose question launched all of this. He is a student at Northwest School of the Arts and will be the project's global teen blogger. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. And 8-year-old Buck Lewis will be doing video blogs during the trip. You have all your camera gear ready to go and your light kit and microphones and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know how to edit?
Nope.
You don't? Well, okay. You got to learn fast then. Okay. Welcome, all three of you.
Thank you. Why
did you pose this question in the first place, Jackson?
Well, because I knew that there was lots of stuff going on. Like every time you pull up the internet or look at the TV or see a newspaper, there's always things happening, like disasters and people dying in other places. And we wanted to go see what's going on and how we can help.
Are you using the collective we, or in other words, we being you, or are you talking about the whole family we?
The whole family.
Really?
The whole family.
Were you in on this, Buck? I mean, did you put him up to this?
No. It was his whole idea.
His whole idea. Mm-hmm. Did you think that when you asked this question, this would be the end result?
No, I had no idea that this was going to happen, but it's amazing. I'm really excited about it.
What was your first reaction? It's an ordinary question for somebody to ask. It's an uncomfortable one,
suppose. Well, I'll tell you, I was proud of the fact that he had posed the question, because I don't think at 13 I was that conscious. And it was kind of a defining moment for me, because I thought, wow, my son is really a conscious, caring person, and maybe I should do something about it. Mm-hmm. And we sort of talked a little bit about doing a soup kitchen or doing some volunteer work in Charlotte. And then I went to bed that night and I thought, you know, this is an important moment for me. And it seemed that way to me. And I thought, you know, maybe we should do something to really make a difference.
Because it is a big leap from, hey, you know, we live pretty well. Why don't we help others more often, to, okay, let's do it. Let's go around the world for 12 months.
Well, I'll tell you, the most important thing is I want to teach my kids to be global thinkers, and I want them to be compassionate people. And the idea sort of fell in our lap. It really was one of those things that it just sort of came to me, and we sat down and talked about it as a family, and we said, let's go do it. Let's see what we can do.
So how long, Jackson, did it take between the question being asked and the final idea that we're going to do this, and here's how we're going to do it, and we're going to get the Peace Corps involved, we're going to get Robert Shapiro from the Clinton administration involved, etc.? How long did all that take?
I don't know. It took a little while. It wasn't too long. I mean, it's really actually progressed really fast. I mean, I feel like it's going really, really well.
Does it surprise you that it's come to this? I mean, to me, if my father had said, okay, here's the answer to the question, we're going to do this, I'd have to sit down for a long time and get over the stun of it all.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by it, but I'm really excited. It's going to be a great trip. Definitely going to be a...
What are you looking forward to, Buck? Because you're 8 years old, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what do you... I got to ask this. Where have you been in the world so far?
We've been to Ireland and Scotland, and then
and
Costa Rica.
And Costa Rica. So you're going to go places that most young people never go.
Yeah.
Is the prospect of that exciting? I mean, you going to be eating foods that you're not accustomed to? You're going to miss all your TV shows? You're not going to be able to play Little League? Are you looking forward to this? Or is this like a kink in the works? Kink in the master plan here.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid, but I'm also really excited to do this.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of, like, getting, like, sick or something.
Uh-huh. If I were the father of this organization, I'd be a little afraid, too.
Oh, we're definitely a little afraid. It's one of the most challenging things I've ever put together, for sure.
I think I read something where you said that you are afraid.
And, absolutely.
But you can't, you, the kids don't know that.
Right. Well, you know, and the other thing is I want to teach my kids that to do great things in the world, you have to face your fear. And I tell people all the time, some days are debilitating for me because the project is really overwhelming. Mm. And I'm one guy kind of putting it together. And there have been days where it was tough to get out of bed just because it seems like a huge mountain to climb. But we're doing it day by day.
Now, you're a 13-year-old guy, and you're in school, and you have all these interests from water sports and things like that, plus you're an artist. Yeah. And you have friends, and you're going to be – all that's going away for a year. Do you think maybe you bit off more than you wanted to chew?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard, like, leaving everything behind for a year, but the trip is definitely worth it.
What are your friends and teachers saying about this?
My friends are all really excited for me. They think it's going to be a really great trip. And my teachers, I don't know, I haven't talked to them much, but they think it's a cool idea. They think it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's work involved in this trip. When I was 8, I had to think long and hard about this because, let me tell you, I haven't been 8 in a long time. But when I was 8, I don't think I worked. I don't think I did a lot of work. You're about to do a lot of work.
Yes, I am.
You look a little rough.
And how do you feel about that?
You should have seen this guy's face when he said that. I'm not sure. You're a little apprehensive about this, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, sir. What worries you about having to work? It's a grown-up kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What have you been told you're going to have to do on this adventure, which we're going to talk about in depth here today?
Like, help kids get food, the education they need, mm-hmm. to learn to speak English so we can communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you learn to speak their language so they can communicate with you?
That too.
Yeah, we're doing that too, so we can also communicate in their language.
Wow. I guess that most teenagers would see this, and I would have seen this at your age, as an opportunity to skip school. But then I think I would worry about losing interest in the project because it's going to be work, after all, for a whole year. And I don't think you're staying in posh resorts. I think you're probably staying in catch-as-catch-can locations and eating what comes along. Aren't you going to miss things like, I don't know, your iPad and stuff like that? I mean, aren't you going to be halfway? Do you worry that halfway through this experience you'll have had enough and want to go home?
I don't think so. Because it's going to be a really great trip, and we're going to help people. We're doing the trip to go help people, so. I don't think we can't really back out of it, so, and.
where does this altruism come from in you? Because you're the one that brought this up. You're the one that was concerned about this in the first place. You don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, you just read the papers and you read the internet and watch television.
I see this, like,
you see suffering
everywhere.
In the world.
Like, I hear, like, things going around, like people talking about it and on the internet and TV and newspapers. I'll tell you,
I think that his generation of kids are a lot more conscious of the world than my generation was, for sure.
They have more access to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they're more willing to help. And I think that's really admirable for this generation of kids. Mm. At least some of them. I mean, I think all of his friends are pretty conscious about what's going on in the world and want to make a difference. And that, to me, I look back to when I was 13 years old, and I don't think I was wanting to be an activist or do anything other than what was happening in my own backyard. Mm-hmm. So for that, I think that's really incredible.
Would you have been happy if you had just gone to a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter or gone to work distributing Meals on Wheels, etc.? You would be helping people in need. That would have satisfied you?
Well, I don't know, because now that we have this trip, I don't know what it would have been like if we did something else. Yeah. So
this will be a life-changing experience, it would seem to me. I mean, yeah. I think you'll come out of this a different person. But you'll be confronting a lot of people who are much less fortunate than we are in this country and who are really living in conditions that we probably can't imagine. Does that concern you that you might not be able to take that? I mean, I know you're going to India. And you're working with kids in the slums in India. And I suppose you saw Slumdog Millionaire, the movie. If not, then you maybe ought to rent that before you go, because the conditions are deplorable. Does that concern you that you'll be able to deal with that?
I think it probably is going to. It's definitely going to bother me that's happening. But that's why we're going, so we can help them to have a better life so they don't have to live like that.
You're calling this adventure 12 in 12, and that is because you're going to 12 different places in 12 months. How did you choose where to go?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that when you say we're involved with the Peace Corps, that actually isn't true. We're involved with Esther Benjamin, who works for the Peace Corps. Unfortunately, I'm a huge fan of the Peace Corps, but there's a 2-year commitment and you have to be 18 years of age. Right. So they can't really help us. Esther Benjamin, who's a global director of the Peace Corps, has come on board as a personal friend, and she has sat down with me and helped me develop each and every one of the entire itinerary and helped me pick each of the countries. And our concern was, I didn't want to put my kids obviously in harm's way. Right. So that was part of the concern. And also, we didn't want to be in a country with huge disease outbreak or anything that would, again, have my children be in harm's way. Right. So she helped me pick countries that, first of all, I have to admit, some of them I had no idea where they were on the planet. And for me,
I'm with you. I went through your list.
She said you should go to Tanzania. I was go terrific. Where might that be? I haven't a clue. And come to find out, it's in Africa. Who That's knew? Right. But it's been a huge educational experience for me as well. And I'm a 52-year-old man, and I thought, you know, I'm a fairly worldly person, I think. And to realize I didn't know where Rwanda was on the map. I knew it was in Africa. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, she sat down with us and she said, these are the countries that would be countries in need but wouldn't have a huge political uprising or a disease outbreak. And so we put together these countries. And then it was at her suggestion, she said, why don't you go to all 7 continents? And I thought, wow, that's a concept. And the 2 of those would be Australia and Antarctica. And I said to Esther, I go, you know, Australia is hardly a third world country.
Right.
And she said, you'd be surprised at what's going on there. And it's interesting because in that location, I met with the Australian embassy, and they were incredibly helpful. And they hooked us up with the Royal Pilots Corps, which brings medical attention into the outback.
And we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the specifics of some of the places you're going as we go through this conversation. We have to take a break. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE listeners and Dixon Hughes Goodman LLP, a Charlotte-headquartered CPA and advisory firm with a 79-year history of resources and relationships, serving clients in the South, Mid-Atlantic, and throughout the U.S. Details at dhgllp.com. Well, during a recent program that we did on the Reventure Waste-to-Energy Plant, the topic of the Foxhole Landfill came up repeatedly. That landfill near Ballantyne has been accepting only construction waste, but area residents are now concerned that the county wants to expand its size and perhaps even allow it to accept household trash and garbage. So we're going to take a look at that proposal, its prospects for passage, the reasons behind it, hear from those opposed to it, and more tomorrow at 9. Yep, the show's about trash tomorrow.
on the next Diane Rehm show. How the death of Osama bin Laden affects al-Qaeda's leadership and the region. What the U.S. action means for relations with Pakistan, the war in Afghanistan, and the battle against global terrorism.
That's the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 FM WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about a family adventure around the world to help where help is needed. It's called 12 in 12, 12 different countries on all the continents. An idea of J.D. Lewis, who is the father in this group, Jackson Lewis, asked a question of his dad about why don't we help out more, and this is the answer. We're going to, around the world. Jackson Lewis is also with us. He's 13. He's a student at Northwest School of the Arts. Buck Lewis is 8. And where do you go to school, Buck?
Eastover Elementary.
Okay. Now, I was... You have some fairly influential people involved in this project. You've already talked a little bit about Esther Shapiro. Esther Benjamin, who runs the Peace Corps. Now, the Peace Corps did not directly involve themselves in helping you set the itinerary, but she did.
Right.
How do you know her?
I actually called up to get information to the Peace Corps. I just went on the internet and found the corporate number, and I thought, well, I'll call the global director of the Peace Corps. That sounds like a good person to talk to. And a guy got on the phone, and I introduced myself, and I said I was a single dad with two kids that I had adopted at birth as a single parent. He was like, you're kidding. That's what I want to do. I'm a single guy, and I want to adopt kids. And I said, well, I'm the right guy to talk to because I'm an advocate for that and have been for years. And he said, by the way, I work with Esther Benjamin, who's the global director of the Peace Corps, and I'd love to tell her about this project. And I said, great. And we got off the phone. And a few days later, I get a phone call from Esther Benjamin, and she said, I don't really know who you are, but I'm a single mom with two kids the same age as your kids, and I know the value of this trip you want to put together because my kids have flown all over the world with me, and it's changed the course of their lives. And that's how that relationship began, and we chatted on the phone, and she invited me to fly up and meet me for a meal. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and had dinner, and she said, this is a really courageous undertaking, and how can I help? I'd love to help in any way I can. And that was the beginning of a friendship.
It shows you the importance of shooting for the top and making the phone call. Just make the call. You might get through it, and you did. Robert Shapiro was President Bill Clinton's former principal economic advisor. How do you know him?
We've been friends for years through friends in Washington, and mutual friends, and we've been friends for years now.
Because he is now a member of the board of directors for the 12 and 12 501c3 organization, which you've put together for this trip to, I guess, help guide other individuals or families interested in doing something similar later on down the pike. And we have asked him to join us briefly by phone, and he's done so, and he joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Mr. Shapiro.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
How did you become involved in this family and in this project? Because you have a very impressive resume, and this is not something that I would necessarily have seen on this resume prior to this moment in time.
Well, I became involved, I think, the same way that most people became involved, including the head of the Peace Corps, and that is it's such a compelling idea that you want to make it happen. What's most compelling is, frankly, not so much the adventure that J.D. and his boys are going to take, but rather the use that they're putting that adventure to, which is to establish a network and a means for other families to take 2 weeks or a month, take their children to do humanitarian work in places around the world. And this is, I think that's what makes this not only brilliant, but important. This can create the opportunity for thousands of other families to do, not only to do their bit in humanitarian work in some of the really most heart-wrenching places in the world, but to do it as an example for their children, a lifetime example for their children.
This is also just to me an amazing story because A, it started with a question from a young man in high school. Then it became a response that is greater than anything I could imagine my being responding to the question. I would never respond to such a question like that. And then it became not just a family adventure. Now it's become this organization to allow or to facilitate other people to do something similar. And that's what is so remarkable about this. What kind of advice and help have you been giving them, Mr. Shapiro?
Well, I've been trying to give them advice about how to make this as safe as possible, and because I worry about those things. I know JD worries about those things. I've tried to give advice about selecting a range of different kinds of humanitarian efforts, that some are aimed at disease problems and others at simply, you know, orphanages, children who've lost their parents, that a whole range of different human and social needs can be served in this way. Mm-hmm. And in addition, of course, I have urged them to create the means, both through film and writing, to tell this story continuously, not only while they're doing it, which you can do online, and I know the kids are going to have daily blogs on this, but also when they get back. This is a message that millions of people ought to hear. And so I've been trying to give advice on how to make sure that that happens.
Obviously, you have political and economic and other professional connections at your disposal. Have you put those to work in the servitude of this project?
Well, as much as I can. But this is, I'm glad you brought this up. I don't know whether JD has brought it up yet or not, but I hope that your listeners will support this project and they can support it by going online and contributing to it. It's, you know, this is not a, you know, it's a costly undertaking to take two children around the world, and document it, in this way. And, I know there is a nonprofit set up and, I hope people can, find a way to contribute to it.
Robert Shapiro, President Clinton's principal economic advisor and now on the board of directors of 12 and 12, the 501c3 that we've been talking about that is in support not only of this trip but also of future trips by other families down the pike here. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it, Mr. Shapiro.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
sure, JD. Good luck. Right.
Thanks. Take care.
We haven't talked. Bye bye. We haven't talked about the finances involved here, and it's taking a week at Myrtle Beach is an
what do you mean this is going to cost money too?
Yeah.
Oh no.
This is a lot of money. I would think. You have any idea what this will cost?
Well, there are different budgets that we're putting together. One is just the travel budget, which is about the low end because we're staying mostly in the locations of the places we're working. We're staying actually in the orphanages. Mm-hmm. In the boarding schools, in these townships. And so the cost of that is fairly cheap. But
getting there.
Right. Mm-hmm. The travel, and we've really been diligent about and doing it as cheaply as possible, the travel is about $30,000. And that's fairly, for a year, and that's seven continents,
yeah.
It is. And we've really done our work as far as finding the cheapest flights and doing land travel. Part of the time we're traveling by train.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really, it's become kind of a great project for me because I like those sort of things. So I've really been able to whittle it down to almost nothing.
Robert Shapiro alluded to this, but I wanted to talk about it anyway, and that is the fact that you will be followed around for much, if not all, of this trip by a documentary film crew.
Well, part of the time I'll be shooting, because I'm a filmmaker as well and have been doing that for years, mm-hmm. and I'm going to shoot most of it, and then we're going to have a crew come in 1 week out of the month to shoot mostly each of the locations. And the reason we decided on that is I didn't want to have a crew come in and be invasive and be... I didn't want to exploit the situation. Our real mission is to go and help people,
right.
And I wanted to do it as under the wire.
But the purpose of the film ultimately will be to not just show, look, see what we did. It is to say, look what you can do.
And also in the film, there are two actual video projects. One is Jackson's Global Teen Blogger, and we're going to do a weekly video blog that's going to have an educational component that's going to go out to all the middle schools and high schools across America. And then the other project is the actual documentary, full-length documentary. And that really is focusing on people in the world who are making a difference. I wanted, you know, when all this project started and I started doing research, some people said to me, you know, there are so many people out there who are not doing it just for 12 months. They've given their lives to do that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's so inspiring. And I thought, these people who don't do it for any publicity or for monetary gain, they're just doing it because that's what their lives are about. I wanted to go out and meet those people, and I wanted to sort of document what they're doing quietly in the world.
Again, as you're talking about what you're planning to do here, it's like a little seed that was planted by Jackson that blossomed and became a little sapling. And now it's a full-fledged oak tree because it's not just your trip. It's trips for others down the road. It's the 501c3 that will help make that possible. It's the website that you're developing. It's the documentary film that will come out of this. It's the constant blogs going on between these two young men here that they'll be doing once they get on the road. This internet site that you're putting up and the blog that you're doing, it's focused at middle and high school students?
Yes.
What are they in? Because I know that you had to go around and probably, make schools around the country aware that this is going to exist and that they could use it. But are they actively going to use it? Or did you just say, hey, it's here. If you want to use it, great. If you don't, that's okay, too. Or are you actually getting involved with certain schools?
Yeah, I think we're trying to get it, into the the school's program so that can be part of kids' classes so they can really be educated on this stuff. So.
What do you think kids your age will want to know about what you're doing and what you're seeing and how you're helping around the world?
I think probably where we're going, what's going on there, how these people live, probably a little bit about their culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You consider yourself a writer or a videographer or what?
I can use a camera. I make videos. Yeah.
He's a filmmaker, trust me.
And
he's playing it down.
You're being shy
and
modest. And Buck, you're 8, and I know that you're doing this video blog aimed at elementary school kids.
Yes.
You know, I don't know that you know how amazing what you're about to do really is. Do you understand how amazing it is for an 8-year-old to be on all 7 continents by the time they're 9?
Yeah.
Do you really? You think you do. Do you really? when you tell your friends what you're doing and some of the places that you're going to be going, do they have any idea? Do they have questions about the places that you're going and the people you'll be helping?
Yeah, they ask me a bunch of questions.
Like what?
Because when I told them that I was going to Antarctica, 2 of them didn't believe me. And then they just started to believe me, and now they're just asking me questions. What are you going to wear?
Yeah, that'd be my first question. Do you know how cold it is in Antarctica? You'd be with the penguins down there. It's freezing. How do you pack for a trip like this?
Well,
what
we're doing is we're taking 5 outfits, and excluding Antarctica, which we'll have to have stuff shipped down. We're actually working on a sponsorship for that. But what we're doing is packing 5 outfits, and we are going to wing it from there. Mm-hmm. We're going to pack just lightly, and if we need to get something on the way.
See, that's where I couldn't come because – I don't know how to pack lightly.
It's a toothbrush, four pairs of jeans, a bunch of T-shirts, a sweatshirt and a jacket, and a few pairs of shoes, and we're good to go.
How do you do things like laundry? How do you just do the...
Well, I think that's something we're going to tackle while we're there. You know, this is going to be, for us, a learning experience.
Right.
It's not like we have traveled to seven continents before or been in a number of third world countries. This is really something that's going to be new to us, and I think we're going to learn along the way and hopefully bring that knowledge back.
Right.
Or the network. We're creating this 12 and 12 network to support other families.
I mean, do you do a lot of research before you go on things like this so that you'll know at least what maybe you have to do or what to expect? Or do you just want to be presented with it when you get there and think, okay, I'll have to deal with this now?
No, we have done mass amounts of research. It has become a full-time job for me and a fascinating job. I have to tell you, I've learned so much in the last 7 or 8 months just about the world and what's going on. It really, to me, is become just this fascinating trip.
Here's what I would want to know as a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old. How many shots do I have to get to go to all these places?
Tell them, guys.
A lot. We've already gotten
Couple. Like 9 shots already?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, one of them hurt really after, so I had to sit out a little bit of baseball.
Ah, that's it. But you're okay with this? You know, see, I would have if somebody told me when I was 8 that I had to get 9 shots, and you have to get more after that, I would have given this whole thing a second thought. And then after the first shot, I would have given it a really serious second thought. But you didn't have those second thoughts?
No, because when I get shots, I don't flinch, so it doesn't hurt that much.
You know, you're both doing video stuff and you're doing internet stuff for this trip while you're on the trip. How? I would think you're going to places that don't have power. You're going to places that don't necessarily have an internet connection. How are you doing this?
Well, we're going to do the video, and I guess we'll have to find some place that we can get internet at so we can post it. I mean, we're going to be traveling, so we'll be near airports and train stations and things. So I guess there has to be internet somewhere for us to put it up. I mean...
So you'll be writing about what your daily experiences, who you helped, what you did while you were there, what the needs are of these people.
Yeah, the stuff like that. Like it's going to be the weekly thing, so I'll just talk about like what happened that week, what's going on with people there, what we've been doing.
Have you thought about some of the things that, or have people your age who know you're taking this trip asked you to tell them certain things as a part of this trip? In other words, they might be interested in one particular thing, and you're going to cover that for them when you get there, or is it pretty much open-ended here?
I think it's going to be pretty open-ended. I think we're just going to...
And he's a filmmaker, your brother over here.
Yeah.
At least your father says he is. He won't admit to it because he's too smart. And Buck, you're doing a kind of a video blog for young people.
Yes.
Are you going to be the on-camera person talking to the camera, or are you going to be the person holding the camera and having somebody else tell the story?
Either one. I don't know which one.
I think you'll be on camera.
Yeah.
Are you good on camera? Do you have a lot of takes, or are you just a one-shot guy?
I'm pretty good.
A first take. Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We'll come back with more. We're going to find out about all these locations that these gentlemen are going to over the course of the next 12 months and get some specifics about what they think they'll be doing, because that may change when they get there. Charlotte Talks on WFA. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting Cats, a nationally touring production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's perfect musical. Opens May 24th at the Belk Theater. I can't believe that's printed there. Information at blumenthalarts.org. How the death of Osama bin Laden affects al-Qaeda's leadership and the region, the topic of discussion at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. What the U.S. action means for relations with Pakistan, the war in Afghanistan, and the battle against global terrorism, all on the table. And you're invited to join that conversation as you are ours right now. 704-926-WFAE at 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or every other way you can at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
WFAE is turning 30 this year, and we're celebrating with a special trivia night at Revolution Pizza in Noda on May 11th. We hope you'll join us for an evening of public radio trivia and a look back at WFAE's history here in Charlotte and the region. You can play on the WFAE team or compete against our staff for bragging rights and prizes. More information at WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We have 8-year-old Buck Lewis with us, 13-year-old Jackson Lewis, and their father, J.D. Lewis, actor and founder of the Actors Lab, and the guy who shouldered the responsibility of taking these two young people around the world for 12 months, 12 and 12, and they'll be helping out where help is needed, and we'll identify some of the places that they're going. There's also a Lego component to this thing. What's that all about, Buck?
Well, one day when I came home from school, since I'm a big fan of Legos, I asked my dad if I could write a letter to the CEO of Legos, and then I wrote the letter when I got home, and they responded. And then after that, they they emailed my dad, and they said that they could ship Legos all to the places we're going to, so I could hand them out to the kids.
Again, you go right to the top.
There you go.
In these situations. Now, where did you learn to go right to the top, to the CEO?
Before I wrote the letter, my dad went online to look who was the CEO.
Uh-huh.
So then I was just like, hey, why don't I write a letter?
So when you wrote the letter, did you actually write a letter or did you email him?
I wrote the letter, but then we scanned it and then we emailed it to him.
So you hand wrote it?
Yeah, and then we scanned it. And then emailed it to him.
Pretty smart. What did you say in that letter?
What was his name again?
Jorgen Vig.
I thought it was
Hans. Nunstrup.
Nunstrup.
Jorgen.
So you just said, "Dear Mr. Nunstrup."
Nunstrup.
And I was like, "I'm Buck Lewis," and other stuff that I can't remember.
Okay.
I'm not the letter anymore.
But the end result is they're shipping Legos to every place you're going.
Yes.
So that you can share those Legos with the kids that you're helping.
Yes.
Pretty cool, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Now write the founder of Dell.
There you go.
And tell them to ship computers.
Well, we've been trying to hit up Apple. If you're out there, Apple, would like some laptops.
Please.
All right. We have several people who have questions here on the web. Joy writes, this is for Buck, the 8-year-old. If you hate the food in a certain country, you can usually find pasta. That's what I had to feed my son when we had enough of the local food on our world travels. Try to have a good time. I will pray for you and hope your Lego projects are awesome. Your friends will be waiting for you when you get back. Don't worry. Are you a worrywart? Do you worry about this?
No.
Okay. Here's a great question. What are you going to do about school? You're out of school for a whole year.
We're going to be homeschooled by my dad, and and while we're on this trip, it's going to be great education for us too.
Okay, Jackson.
Yeah, we're going to be homeschooled.
Are you a freshman in high school?
Sophomore? No, next year is going to be ninth grade. Next year, I'll be going into high school.
Okay, so you're leaving in June, so you're missing your first September in high school, correct?
Yes.
So you're being homeschooled as well. Are you going to be, when you come back, would you be a sophomore? Will they accept you as a sophomore?
Yeah.
And do you have to teach them certain things and they have to take certain correspondence
tests? There's a whole homeschooling program for their year. There's a whole process that they have to go through, and they have to do testing, and it's a whole big event. So we'll be each morning. We're going to do it throughout the year instead of doing the school year. When we leave in July, we're actually just going to do homeschooling every morning, Monday through Friday, throughout the year, and 3 or 4 hours of work in the morning. And I think the greatest education you can have, and I moved to England when I was in my early 20s, and I say all the time, it changed the course of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the greatest education you can have is being out and seeing the world. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're going to keep our studies up, but to be able to go into the world and see that as the greatest education.
You're an actor, and Jackson, I understand you're a musician,
yes,
among other things. And both musicians and actors improvise a lot.
Yes, indeed.
This sounds like a life that's being improvised. It's outside the box.
Yes.
That, to me, requires courage because you're going against the norm. You're going into the unknown with no guarantees. And it requires the ability to be very adaptable, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
You got that? Do you know that about yourself, that you have that ability?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this would scare a lot of people to death.
You know, we're a family that sort of thinks outside of the box. And I've been taught that my whole life as an artist. And I want to teach my kids to think outside of the box. I think successful people are people who think outside of the norm. And I think that this is a great example of doing that.
Yeah, we've done a lot of programs on this. And that's the kind of people that will be successful in the 21st century are the people who are the creative people. Even if they don't pursue creativity as a profession per se, they can use it in other professions.
Right.
You're going to Russia, India, China, Cambodia, Senegal, Rwanda, Tanzania, Australia, the South Georgia Islands, Paraguay, Peru, Haiti, and Mississippi. Why Mississippi?
You know, because we're going all over the world and documenting what's going on, I wanted to include the states because there's need right here in the United States, and I wanted that to be part of what we're doing. I have spent time in Mississippi in a little town called Durant. I have an older sister who lives there, and people are living in squalor, and I think it needs to be addressed. What I'm finding, though, that's really interesting to me is that in a lot of the third world countries, there's no government assistance, and that there's no a person in Rwanda can't go to the government and go, could you subsidize my life or could you help me get, you know, subsidized housing or any of that. In the States, for me, it's a matter of education. A lot of these people live in substandard communities where they, if they were educated, they could have more and be helped. So we want to go down in Mississippi at least and try and see if we can help people find programs and outlets to get help.
Are they the first stop or the last?
They're the last.
They're the last stop. What's the first stop?
Is Russia. And we start off in St. Petersburg, and we're working with two organizations in St. Petersburg. One is a baby orphanage, and the other is a teen program called Transit. And those are kids that are brought off the street in St. Petersburg. And then they're in transit. They actually stay at this home until they're actually placed either in foster care or reunited with their family.
How did you know about places like this? Is this through...
And again, it's all research. That particular connection came through a Russian actress that I worked with in Los Angeles. And so she helped me put that together. From there, we take the train to Moscow. And from Moscow, we take the train to Tomsk, which is in the middle of Siberia, where we're working at a baby orphanage. And that really is our first major location. We're going to be in St. Petersburg only for about a week.
What will you be doing at the orphanage in Siberia?
We want to chop wood and carry water. We'll do whatever's needed. We'll mop floors.
Do they know you're
babies.
Coming?
Yes, they do.
Are they planning to – in other words, when they know you're coming and they've said, yes, you can come, you're not going to get in the way, you're going to be helpful – do they have they sat down with amongst themselves and decided what it is you're going to do?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest. I think we're going to arrive and be of service. Jackson, I know that my 13-year-old is going to be teaching English because I think, you know, conversational English with kids because that's a need in a lot of the countries. And apparently, and that's what I'm finding out in the research, is what a lot of people want.
How do you teach English to people who speak Russian? Or any other language, for that matter? If they don't speak any of English at all, and you don't speak, I'm assuming you don't speak Russian, how do you teach them? Where do you begin?
Well, first, we have to learn Russian.
But it's really just speaking. We're working on getting a the English program from Rosetta Stone. I don't know if I can say that. But,
well, you have.
Thank you. flashcards. We're doing elementary English, and what we want to do is teach the basics, and I think that's something that Jack would be really proficient at.
Here's where I want to join you.
Okay.
In Cambodia.
There you go.
Do you know what you're doing in Cambodia, Buck? You remember? I know. Elephant rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Elephant rescue. Now, I don't know a darn thing about elephants, except that they're big and unpredictable. Elephant rescue. Why? How did you choose that particular project?
Well, we heard about it, and it's really terrible. The elephants are brought into the cities for entertainment, and they're really badly mistreated. So we're going to work with an organization to get them out of the city and bring them back into the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They track them back into the wild, and it's a whole process of a few weeks, and they acclimate them back, and then they release them.
In Australia, which is not exactly a third world country, although evidently there are elements of that, because there are elements of that here in this country. But you're working with the pilot corps, and I know that you're in there in Australia because you're going to hit all seven continents. Was it difficult to find a project in Australia?
Well, I'll tell you, I was worried. That was one of the countries I was really worried about finding a project because I didn't know. I knew that I wanted to work with the indigenous people. I thought that that would be really interesting. And I met with the Australian embassy in Washington, D.C., and at their suggestion, they came up with the Royal Pilots Corps, which is an organization that drops medical attention and medical supplies out into the outback. And I thought, wow, that would be incredible, and we could actually see the outback from an aerial view, which would be great for the film aspect of it. And also, the kids that live out there are not homeschooled, but there's a program called School of the Air. And what they do is they do their schooling over a CB radio. And for 3 hours a day, the kids in the middle of the outback are getting their schooling from this radio. And I really want to document that for the film as well, and also have Jack document that for his weekly blogs, because I think that's such a great educational component to it.
Now, you are also going, we already said this, to Antarctica, where it's very cold. What are you going to be doing in Antarctica? I don't think there are very many needy people there.
There aren't. There are penguins in need, apparently. But there are a number of science expeditions down there, and we're in the process of hooking up with a science expedition that is measuring the hole in the ozone.
Mm-hmm.
And what we will do is take a ship from the tip of South America to the South Georgia Island. And from there, that will be our base. And then we're going to work with an expedition that will actually go to the mainland of Antarctica. We will actually be able to see the penguins, which is incredible, and all the glacial structures. And
you'll be in these places for how long? A month? Or
each location will be for a month.
For a month.
Right.
Do you like cold weather, Jackson?
Well, I'm kind of gotten used to it. It gets pretty cold here in the winter.
We're from Venice Beach, California, so this is very cold.
Okay, well, you're about to find out what cold really is there. India, you're working with a Buddhist monastery with a monk who works with kids in the slums.
Right.
Do you know what you're doing there yet with these children?
We're actually just going to work with the monks.
Okay.
And again, we go back to chopping wood and carry water. If they want us to mop floors, if they want us to sweep up, cook, whatever. We truly, our mission is to be of service.
I'm hopscotching here because we're running short of time. But Tanzania, you're working with the Tanzania Project, and that is an art school in Zanzibar. And this kind of plays into the two strengths that these young people have here, because you're an artist, and you are an artist. You paint, you sculpt, you're 8 years old, you do all this stuff. What's going on with the Tanzania Project from your points of view?
Well, we're going there, and we're going to...
Noise happens.
We're going to... I don't know. We're going to work with them and do art with them, I guess. And
there's a thing called the Zanzibar Project. I think I'll take it from here, guys.
You're a man of few words, aren't you? Okay.
The Zanzibar Project was created by a woman named Aida Ayers, and she's actually from California, and she married a Tanzanian man, and they live in Zanzibar, on Zanzibar. And she had an idea. She's an artist, and she had an idea to build this little school, and it is literally a small school that sort of helps the kids in this impoverished town.
And in Haiti, you're going to work at a classical music school that was destroyed by the earthquake. What will you be doing? Are you working in music or are you working in actual construction?
I'll tell you, that's such an incredible thing because I called the embassy of Haiti in Washington, D.C., and I got a meeting with the ambassador of Haiti, which was an incredible experience. And he and I really hit it off, and he said he had this love for this classical music school in Haiti, and would we go down and help if we could? And I said, absolutely. They're rebuilding it as we speak. Jackson's going to get to sit in with the orchestra and play the saxophone with them.
Neat.
And I want to bring the young people from that orchestra here to Charlotte, to the Northwest School of the Arts, to do a fundraiser for Haiti and for this school. All of the idea of 12 and 12 is to really have a sustainable network with all 12 of our locations. And I feel if we could create a network of our 12 locations and we could inspire other families to go out and maybe they pick one location or two locations or three, if they could come back and be a hub for those locations, we could really create an amazing network of help and aid throughout the world.
We have one listener who says, what can people who aren't as connected or able to take a trip do right now to teach some of the lessons that your kids will be learning this year? Any suggestions very quickly?
Well, I think to teach your kids to think outside of the box and be compassionate and human beings.
And how will listeners follow you on your trip?
At www.12in12.org, and those are the words spelled out, 12in12.org.
Okay.
And we'll be posting weekly videos there and written blogs, and if you're interested in donating, you can do that also.
Right. J.D. Lewis, actor and father of this organization, the 12 and 12 organization, which is Jackson Lewis and Buck Lewis, thank you all for being here and have a wonderful trip.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Come back when you have come back, and we'll talk about what happened.
I like that.
Charlotte Tom.